Welcome to a Juno Afternoon on Tuesday, November 3rd, 2015. I'm your host, Scott Burton. On today's show, we'll get an update on library activities with Library Director Robert Barr. We'll hear about Retail Therapy, a fundraiser for Jammy. And folks from Perseverance Theater's current production of Sweeney Todd will be here. We'll talk with some of the actors also in the Thunder Mountain High School Drama Department's production of Robin Hood, with director Barbara Jo Meyer. Those interviews, National Native News, Writer's Almanac, Bird Note, music, and more right here on a Juno Afternoon. Currently 42 degrees in Juno, 43 in Gustavus, 43 in Hoonah.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. TransCanada has asked the U.S. State Department to suspend its consideration of a permit to allow the Keystone XL pipeline to cross the U.S.-Canada border. TransCanada says ongoing litigation in Nebraska has delayed the process at the state level, and a delay at the federal level is in order. Pipeline opponents tell Victoria Wicks that TransCanada has political motives.
Attorney Peter Capicella represents the Standing Rock Sioux. He says the concerns of South Dakota tribes are reason enough for the feds to reject the Keystone XL pipeline. Capicella says the pipeline, if built, cuts through land granted to tribes by the Fort Laramie Treaty of 1868.
Because of the treaty, the tribes have extensive water rights in South Dakota that remain unadjudicated as of the present. So those water rights are very valuable and very important to the tribes. And all of the main waters of South Dakota are crossed and potentially threatened by Keystone XL Pipeline.
Capicella says that land holds burial sites, sacred sites, and artifacts that could be destroyed by pipeline construction. Jane Klebb is one of the founders of Bold Nebraska, an organization created specifically to stop the Keystone XL Pipeline from crossing her state. Klebb says TransCanada's request to the State Department is politically motivated.
The only reason that TransCanada is asking for a pause is they know that the president is getting ready to reject their permit, and that if the president fully rejects their permit, then they would have to start all over again if a Republican gets elected, which is what they're hoping for, since all the Democrats have said they would oppose Keystone XL.
The pipeline permit has been tied up in Nebraska for years, primarily because of state-level legal wrangling. Klebb says TransCanada asked the legislature for special laws designed to ease passage of the pipeline, but because those laws violate the state constitution, the permit is now jammed up in court. For National Native News, I'm Victoria Wicks in Rapid City, South Dakota.
The South Dakota Public Utilities Commission chair says commissioners will continue to consider the application for the pipeline to go through western South Dakota. They're expected to make a decision by the end of the year. A hearing to reconsider the murder convictions of the Fairbanks Four in Alaska is in its fifth week. The hearing is looking at new evidence in the 1997 beating death of teenager John Hartman. As KUAC's Dan Bross reports, the four men's post-conviction relief rely heavily on alternative suspect Jason Wallace.
Jason Wallace allegedly made self-incriminating statements in 2003 about the Hartman murder before being tried for an unrelated drug killing. More recently, former drug ring partner William Holmes, who's also serving time for other murders, confessed involvement in the Hartman attack, pinning the actual beating on Wallace. The state has granted Wallace immunity from prosecution in exchange for testifying at the Fairbanks 4 hearing. Under questioning, Wallace acknowledged the murder and assault he's serving time for, but denied any role in the Hartman attack.
I did terrible acts, but that doesn't mean that I did this. That doesn't mean I killed John Hartman. And who's ever accusing me of doing this is lying.
Wallace has appeared as a witness for state attorneys working to uphold the convictions of the Fairbanks Four. State Assistant Attorney General Adrian Bachman reminded Wallace that he was under oath while asking specific questions about the Hartman attack.
Did you have any involvement in that attack?
No, I did not.
As a driver?
No, ma'am.
The last response is specifically contradictory to Wallace's chronicled statement to a public defender agency employee in 2003, in which he claimed to have driven a car carrying Holmes and another man who got out and assaulted Hartman. For National Native News, I'm Dan Bross in Fairbanks, Alaska.
The chairwoman of the Fond du Lac Band of Lake Superior, Chippewa, Minnesota, is resigning from her position to take a job at the White House. In a November 2nd letter to tribal members, Karen Diver says she'll serve as a special assistant to the president for Native American affairs. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation.
Support for this program provided by the University of Tulsa College of Law, offering a 100% online master's degree program in Indian law. This degree can move your career forward and help you work effectively in Indian country. Deadline for spring application is December 1st. Info at masterinlaw.utulsa.edu/NV1.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
You're listening to a Juno Afternoon here on Tuesday, November 3rd, 2015. Scott Burton, your host, and joining me now in the studio is the director, the library director, Robert Barr. Welcome to the show, Robert.
Thanks, Scott.
Nice to have you here.
Yeah, it's good to be here.
We got a bunch of stuff going on at the library, including the big grand opening.
We do, yeah. Our grand opening is this Saturday, November 7th, 11:30 till 3. It's a drop-in type of thing. We're going to have lots of entertainment. The Juno Pipe Band, not something you see every day at the library. Bagpipers will be piping us in at 11:30. We'll have a couple of very brief speeches. The mayor will be there to talk about libraries, as will I and our president of the Friends of the Library group. We'll have also some other entertainment from Alaska Pella, who, aren't they going off to Carnegie? Is that?
Yes.
I heard something about that. Yeah, that's crazy. So they'll be there. And we'll have some activities for kids. COPA will be there with ice cream for the first 500 attendees. We'll have some other food and refreshments. It'll be a good time.
Sounds good. And if anybody hasn't been there yet, can you describe where the new library is?
Yeah. It's in Diamond Park. So right next to the pool in Diamond Park. Also in the same complex as Thunder Mountain High School and Riverbend Elementary and the ball fields out there. So as you're going north on Riverside, it's on your left. If you're going south, it's on your right. It's right there on the corner.
And describe the structure for folks that haven't seen it, and
okay.
The atmosphere inside.
Yeah, so it's a very open design. It's a tall building. Many people think it's a two-story building from the outside, but it's not. It's a single story. It has a single sloped slanted roof. You come in through a main entrance that has large double doors. There's a large overhang outside of the library for rain-free space. There's some outdoor seating out there, some picnic tables that are ADA accessible, and some bike racks. And as you come inside, it's big, open, and airy. The stacks are short. The ceilings are tall. There's a room just for teens, which we thought was particularly important since we've got two schools, really three schools within walking distance right there, walking or biking distance. And there's a much larger children's room than there was in the old library. There are six rooms that can be reserved for the public of varying sizes. We have small six-person study rooms. There are four of those. And there's one large person or one 12-person conference room, and then a large meeting room, all that can be reserved by the public.
It's been such a big project for all of you. How's it feel to have it come to fruition?
It's amazing. We had a fantastic team working on this project. We had Northwind Architects and paired with an architecture firm out of Portland, Hacker Architects. They did just a great job with the design. And incorporating all of the different features that we wanted to see. And then our contractor, Dawson Construction, and their team of subcontractors, of which there are many, just did a phenomenal job bringing this project to fruition.
Yeah, it sounds great. Among other things, I like how you made a teen room, you know.
Yeah.
It's sort of customized to that location.
Mm-hmm. That's been nice. And it's... You know, we've been operating. We had a soft opening, we're calling it, in October 5th. And, you know, every day around 3:30, the Floyd Dryden kids get over there on their bikes and just fill up that room. And then right afterwards, Thunder Mountain lets out, and we get swamped in a very good way with all the high school kids in our study rooms. And it's turning into a really great, safe after-school place.
That sounds like a good segue to something I just learned about from you, and that's the one-on-one homework help that the library provides. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, so it's called Live Homework Help. It's a service that the library provides through the state library. So this service is available throughout the entire state of Alaska. And it allows kids to connect with tutors online, real people that have been trained and vetted in their expertise in their fields to tutor children that have problems or that are struggling or that just want help understanding their homework in any subject, K through college. It's available from noon until midnight, and you can access it through by going to the library's website, juno.org/library. Go to research. You'll find it there. And it does require a computer and being online because it's an online service. But you can connect at the library if you don't have broadband at home, or you can do it at home.
Wow. And I imagine that's free?
It is. You just need a library card.
All right. Mm-hmm. You heard it here on Juno Afternoon, parents. If anyone's having trouble with their homework, they can get help right there. What else is going on?
So we've got some activities coming up. We have a Lego club. If you have a little one that loves Legos, we have a Lego master builder who is hosting a Lego club first Wednesdays, so tomorrow, at the Valley Library. It's at 5:30.
A Lego master builder.
A Lego master builder. It's a thing. You can, like, get certified as a master builder through Lego.
Wow.
I don't know all the details about how that happens, but I hear it's a big deal. Yeah. We've got family nights starting up again. So we have two family nights every month. First Thursdays downtown at 5:30 on top of the parking garage, the library up there. And then third Thursdays in the Valley, also at 5:30. We partner with the AEYC, the Association for the Education of Young Children, on those. And they are a good time for families with young kids. We provide a light supper. And we have a game day coming up in the Valley as well. So November 21st, if you are or want to be or aspire to be a board gamer or a card game player, we have a time for you. It's a drop-in program from 11 until 5 on November 21st. And you can bring your own game or play what we have. We have a lot of board games. We partner with Platypus Gaming for that program.
All right. That sounds like fun. And did you mention earlier you have a writing class?
We do. Every now and then we host writing workshops, and we have one coming up on Saturday, November 14th. This one is focused on writing memoirs for people that are interested in that. It's with Professor Ernestine Hayes. She will be facilitating that workshop. And most of our programs don't require registration, but this one does. It's still free, but we are asking for registration, so we have a sense of what we'll need as far as supplies and whatnot. And so if you'd like to register for this one, just call the library and ask for Beth. You can call any library or shoot us an email at reference@juno.org.
And what an opportunity that is to study with Ernestine Hayes, the winner of the American Book Award for a memoir, right here at the Juno Public Library.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else, Robert?
I'll highlight one more. So we have a storytelling event. Normally, we do lots of storytelling, story time at the library for kids. So we've got a storytelling event coming up for older teens and adults on November 14th at the Valley from 6 to 7:30. So there will be family-friendly stories featuring a bunch of our great local storytellers, Tom Cosgrove, Pete Griffin, Pat McClear, Ann Fuller, a couple others who I'm not remembering. Yeah,
a lot going on at the Juno Public Library, but this Saturday, that's the big one, right?
This Saturday, 11:30 to 3. Stop by anytime. We would love to have everyone there.
And you can probably find out more details about everything else that Robert just outlined for us. Remind us the website once more.
juno.org/library.
Okay. Robert Barr, thank you for coming in to the show today.
Thanks for having me, Scott.
Anytime.
If you could read my mind, love, what a tale my thoughts could tell. Just like an old-time movie about a ghost from a wishing well. In a castle dark or a fortress strong with chains around my feet. You know that ghost is me, and I will never be set free as long as there's a ghost that you can't see. If I could read your mind, love, what a tale your thoughts would tell. Just like a paperback novel, the kind that drugstores sell. When you reach the part where the heartaches come, the hero would be me, but heroes often fail. You won't read that book again, because the ending's just too hard to take. I'd walk away like a movie star who gets burned in a freeway script. Enter number two, a movie queen to play the scene of bringing all the good things out in me. But for now, love, let's be real. I never thought I could act this way, and I've got to say that I just don't get it. I don't know where we went wrong, but the feeling's gone, and I just can't get it back. If you could read my mind, love, what a tale my thoughts could tell. Just like an old-time movie about a ghost from a wishing well. In a castle dark or a fortress strong with chains upon my feet. But stories always end. If you read between the lines, you know that I'm just trying to understand the feelings that you lack. I never thought I could feel this way, and I've got to say that I just don't get it. I don't know where we went wrong, but the feeling's gone, and I just can't get it back.
Unitarian Universalist Fellowship is a welcoming congregation embracing many different beliefs and invites the community to join them on Sundays at 10 a.m. at the Temple Sukkot Shalom on Cordova Street in Douglas. More information is at juuf.org. This message brought to you by the Juno Unitarian Universalist Fellowship.
You're listening to a Juno Afternoon here on Tuesday, November 3rd, 2015. Scott Burton, your host. It's about 19 minutes after the hour, and I've been joined in the studio now by Alex Brown. She is the manager out at Alaska Dames and Gents. Welcome to the show, Alex.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Yeah, nice to have you here. So a runway show in Juno?
Yes, totally. I mean, Juno's kind of known for its sort of eclectic fashion from, you know, having extra tufts with dresses, but we have a lot of occasions where we need to dress up for. So we kind of wanted to come together with a lot of the other retailers in town and put on a great show for a great cause. This runway show is going to be benefiting JAMI, the Juno Alliance for Mental Health, and they, you know, they could really use it. So we're really happy to be kind of putting on that sort of thing for them.
Tell us a little bit about JAMI and how you all got behind them.
So the Juno Alliance for Mental Health, Inc., we've had a couple of not only customers or consigners that have, you know, either been helped by them, but they do a lot of advocacy work, and not only in Juneau, but as well as Southeast. And I think they are a very deserving cause. They could use every little bit of help that they need or that they could get.
Okay. Tell us about some of the businesses. Well, actually, even before we get to that, describe what the scene is going to look like. This is going to be at Suite 907, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's
yep.
where Marlantini's used to be?
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
7:30 on Saturday?
Yes.
Okay. And what's it going to look like?
So it's going to be a really fun event. So the doors will open at 7 o'clock, and we'll start off with a pre-show beer tasting. And then the actual event starts at 7:30. We're going to have a silent auction with tons of great gifts that were donated by businesses all over town. We're also going to have an outcry auction featuring Colette Costa. She's pretty great at setting those kinds of things up, as well as our mistress of ceremonies will be Abby O'Brien. She's kind of known for her karaoke skills, and she is absolutely hilarious. And then each business will have kind of a time slot where you'll get to see the looks from them. So it's really going to be a very diverse show where you're going to see every kind of possible fashionable thing that you could wear in Juneau.
That sounds like fun. And, yeah, tell me about some of the other businesses.
Yeah, so let's see. Lillette, which is our sister store to Alaskan Dames. We also have Shoefly participating, the Alaskan Brewing Company, Mabel McKinley, The Rose, and Sequence Board Shop. So you'll see a huge range of looks, kind of starting from, you know, skater to fashionista to, you know, Alaskan Brewing Company. They've got all kinds of gear, so that's really cool.
And you mentioned Lillette. Is that your new store?
Lillette. Yes.
Okay.
So that's our high-end consignment boutique, which is located in the valley and at the Diamond Shopping area. They've got a mix of high-end like designer consignment like Burberry and Chanel and those big brands that, you know, you wouldn't normally think you would see in Juneau, but we actually see quite a bit of them, as well as some really other cute either formal or casual wear as well.
And tell us about, would you call it like your flagship store, the one that's at the airport mall?
Yes. So Alaskan Dames, that place has been in business for over 20 years. So we've been doing this a long time. We have men's, women's, furniture, housewares. And actually for the fashion show, I think we have like 6 male models, which we've never had before. And people always kind of seem to forget, oh, it's Alaskan Dames and gents. So we're going to be showing off our manlier side there.
And what is the price range for stuff at your store, would you say?
So at Dames, it's actually really affordable. So our clothing, starts as low as $5, and we don't really have anything on the floor for more than $20 or $25 usually. So you're able to get more for your dollar, and that's kind of really important to us, is to have an affordable as well as a wide range of things. So you can get an affordable couch at the same time as buying a brand new sweater. So it's really nice. Our smaller store, it's a little bit pricier, but it's still affordable as far as what it is. It's kind of quality for good prices.
What kind of stuff are you after right now for consignment?
Right now we are accepting fall and winter items. So if you have any of those ugly Christmas sweaters hiding in your closet, now would be the time to get them out, because we're going to be accepting holiday wear on November 15th. And those ugly Christmas sweaters, those like sell so fast. I mean, I personally already know that I'm invited to like 3 of those ugly Christmas sweater parties, so I'm sure everybody else is. That's kind of holiday wear, sweaters, jackets, coats, anything. I mean, winter is coming.
And you're going to see all of these kinds of fashions and more displayed this Saturday. Give us the details once more.
So that'll be this Saturday starting at 7 o'clock at Suite 907. Tickets are $10 from any of the participating businesses, unless you don't show up until last minute, which we know a lot of people in Juneau like to do that. But so that means that tickets at the door will be $15. You can also go online to www.suite907.com to purchase your tickets online.
All right, Alex Brown, she's the manager at Alaska Dames and Gents. Anything else you want to add?
I hope that everybody comes out for this event. I think it's going to be a really fun, classy, exciting event. I mean, I think it's going to be very entertaining. And like I said, Jamie is a very deserving cause. So come out and support everybody.
Thanks, Alex.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Tuesday. It's the 3rd of November, 2015. It was on this day, 1793, the feminist and playwright Olympe de Gouges went to the guillotine for sedition. She had spoken out against the revolution because she said women had gained nothing from it. She argued for the equal sharing of property and for laws protecting the rights of women and their children from men who had lied to them and then abandoned them, for which she was sentenced to death. And as she mounted the scaffold, she said to the crowd, "Children of the fatherland, you will avenge my death." It's the birthday of the man who said, "Go forth under the open sky and list to nature's teachings, to him who in the love of nature holds communion with her visible forms. She speaks a various language." William Cullen Bryant, born in Cumington, Massachusetts, 1794, famous for a poem about death that he wrote when he was 17, the poem Thanatopsis. "So live that when thy summons comes to join the innumerable caravan in the silent halls of death, thou go not like the quarry slave at night scourged to his dungeon, but sustained and soothed by an unfaltering trust, approach thy grave like one who wraps the drapery of his couch about him and lies down to pleasant dreams." It's the birthday of the photographer Walker Evans, born at St. Louis, 1903, went off to Paris to become a writer. He said, "I wanted so much to write that I couldn't write a word. So I came back to the United States, felt like a failure. One day picked up a camera, started taking pictures. One of the first pictures he made was of the parade honoring Lindbergh's flight across the Atlantic, 1927. Evans shot the street the parade had just passed through, littered with crumpled handbills and confetti. He went in his own direction. He took pictures of ordinary things, storefronts, signs with marquee lights, views from speeding trains, common tools, people in the New York subways, bedrooms, farmers' bedrooms, what people had on their dressers and in their dresser drawers. He and James Agee did a book about sharecroppers in the Depression years. Let us now praise famous men. Here's a poem for today by Ellen Bass, "Deceiving the Gods." The old Jews rarely admitted good fortune, and if they did, they'd quickly add, "Kinahora, let the evil eye not hear. What Dumkopf would think the spirits were on our side." But even in a tropical paradise laden with sugarcane and coconut, something like the shtetl's wariness exists. In Hawaii, I'm told, a fisherman never spoke directly, lest the gods arrive at the sea before him. Instead, he looked to the sky, the fast-moving clouds, and say, "I wonder if leaves are falling in the uplands. Let us go and gather leaves." So, my love, today, let's not talk at all. Let's be like those couples eating silently in restaurants, barely a word the entire meal. We pitied them, but now I see they were always so much smarter than we were. A poem by Ellen Bass, "Deceiving the Gods," from her collection Like a Beggar, published by Copper Canyon Press, and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by Lumosity, introducing a 10-minute fit test to challenge memory, attention, and problem-solving to calculate baseline scores. Learn more at lumosity.com. And by TIAA CREF, a global financial company dedicated to delivering financial outcomes that matter. TIAA CREF, created to serve, built to perform. Learn more at TIAA.org. Produced by Joy Biles, assisted by Teresa Burgess. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
Never thereafter were heard of again. he draw you, hath the fury draw you, did sweetly taunt the demon mother of Fleet Street. He kept a shop in London town of fancy clients and good renown. And what if none of their souls were saved? They went to their maker impeccably shaved. By Sweeney Todd, the demon barber of Fleet Street.
You're listening to Juno Afternoon here on Tuesday, November 3rd, 2015. And with me now in the studio is the cast. Well, part of the cast and part of the crew of Sweeney Todd over at Perseverance Theater. Enrique Bravo over on my left, who is playing Sweeney Todd. Welcome, Enrique.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Musical director Todd Hunt.
Hi.
And Mr. Perseverance, lots of stuff, Tom Robinall.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming in, you guys. So you guys did kind of a preview soft opening on Sunday. This thing's about to take off. How's it going?
Well, it's, you know, we got through it, and I thought it was actually pretty good on Sunday. So it's only going to get better from here. And Friday is going to be really good, I think. Yeah. So this is going to be one, you know, that you don't want to miss for sure.
Yeah, we're putting in some elements now that we're basically finishing, you know, the show. So it really was sort of like a working rehearsal, but we got through a lot more than we thought we were.
Yeah.
We had a slight hold at the end in a very, very dramatic moment, which is fun. But yeah, no, things are coming along. We're coming together as a cast, and it's been an interesting show to work on. So it's a hard one.
Yeah.
It's pretty difficult.
About how many folks are involved?
Yeah, how many? It's
like cast of 12.
Cast of 14.
14. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. And then six musicians.
Mm-hmm. And you have the director, obviously, and you have Haley's a choreographer, and you have the set designer, who's also kind of a spatial kind of designer as well. Lighting designer. Everybody's in that room going at it. Yeah, it's a lot of tech involved in a musical.
Technical elements are coming. It's Paul Spadone, who designed the costumes for like Tommy, Hair, Chicago. He's back in town doing this show.
And Val Snyder's helping him out from Brown Boots Costume Company. So it's just a room full of...
Yeah, good old Rory Stitz back doing sound design.
Uh-huh. No kidding.
Yeah.
Wow.
So some, you know, familiar faces, and a lot of us have worked together before. And you know, this is the first time I got to work with Todd.
Yeah.
So it's a big Juno crew back together putting up a big musical.
Yeah.
The show is going to run for about a month in Juno. Is
that right? It'll actually 5 weeks. So it'll go from this Friday, which is November 6th, and it'll go through December 6th. And the last week we'll have a Wednesday performance. We don't have a performance on Thanksgiving, obviously, but we have a performance the day before, which is a Wednesday as well.
Wow.
Yeah.
How long have you guys been working on this?
Well, let's see. Enrique, you and I got together for the first time.
I'd
early,
say it was about 5 weeks ago.
Yeah, November.
Really started.
Or not November, September.
Yeah. Me and Todd, well, I knew the music was going to be sort of difficult, so I would meet once a week with Todd just to kind of go over stuff, and slowly we kept that up until rehearsal started. And then we got, you know, thrown into it. And Todd's been having to deal with the orchestra part as well, so I didn't want to necessarily bother him once we got going on that.
In case somebody doesn't know, give us a quick plot synopsis for this show.
Wow.
All right, well, the play, I was going to make Tom do it because he's made me do it twice now.
He's so good at it.
But the play actually starts 15 years prior to the action. Benjamin Barker is actually sent away by a judge, Judge Turpin, in the hopes of basically usurping his wife. And so he's sent... Benjamin Barker is to an island in Australia where he's made his way back. He's basically broken out of the prison, and he's trying to find out what exactly has happened in the time that he's been gone. And he finds out that his wife has been sort of poisoned herself, and that his daughter with his wife, Lucy, Joanne, has been also taken over by the judges. And she's his ward. So basically from then on out, spins into a tale of revenge. He runs into Mrs. Lovett, who owned the pie shop underneath him, and they kind of get in cahoots and are both basically hell-bent on... She's on, you know, been in love with Benjamin Barker for a long time, so that sort of fuels that relationship, but Benjamin is pretty much up for revenge. He needs to make everything right. But there's a lot of other themes which I've gone over. Man eats man, both literally and figuratively. And there's, you know, revenge and also just there's a lot of themes of classes in society, you know, the rich basically taking advantage of the poor. And so it's got a lot. It's a meaty musical, you know. It's not one of those fluff musicals.
Not just singing and murder.
Not just singing and murder. Right. So, which is great, you know, from my standpoint, because I'm an actor first before I'm a singer, and that's what I've really enjoyed about this process is like digging into these characters. I started freaking people out saying that I was watching a lot of serial killer documentaries. And they were like, okay. But yeah, so.
Yeah. Well, what's the setting look like in the theater?
It's pretty bare, actually. I mean, it's the stage is pretty bare, but there's a lot of elements that come onto it. So there's a lot of like rolling platforms. There's a large sheet of plastic in the background. There's video that's projected onto that. There's a large wall behind that. There's a trap that's used. A lot of lighting effects that are used. It's in these tables that are moved constantly around to form different areas of that part of London. It's very inventive in that kind of way, and it's pretty dynamic, actually, as far as the staging goes. And I know the process was very communal in that way, and so, you know, that's what they've all been working on and toward, and it's actually perfect because it's going to peak right at the right moment.
Okay, Todd, how's it been working with Sondheim's music?
You know, I liked Sondheim before and respected him, but now it's actually that has grown quite a bit because, you know, even though it's like you go through this stuff and it's like, wow, what is going on here? And you can see, though, that in all of the difficult things he puts in, there's always a dramatic reason for why, like, you know, when there's something repeated, it's not exactly repeated, it's a little bit different, or the harmonies are a little bit different underneath it. It's because things are always changing. And in that way, it's very organically written music, and that has been wonderful to discover, actually. So it's been kind of eye-opening even more about him as a composer and as a dramatist as well, because it's got a lot of drama in there.
How about the most challenging part?
Well, Todd mentioned it. I mean, a lot of the rhythms and sort of the music can be difficult because you hear a song and you normally expect sort of the melody to repeat itself, and that does not happen. It was constantly changing. So, and right. You know, if you sort of get off a whole, the whole train can get knocked off. Mm-hmm. But I really got to tip my hat to Todd because he's been doing an amazing job. In fact, me and Victoria, who plays Mrs. Lovett, we sort of laughed at the party yesterday because Todd sent out musical notes for the preview that we had when he was also conducting and playing an instrument in the back. So me and Victoria were like, when did he write these notes? That's ridiculous that he's got that kind of mind that he can remember things and notate it and still keep playing and conducting at the same time. Yeah. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, I've got my secrets.
Enrique, can we talk you into sharing a few lines from the play?
Sure. Okay, I'll see. I usually have the backing of Todd's band, but I'll do a little barber and his wife. There was a barber and his wife, and she was beautiful. A foolish barber and his wife, she was his reason and his life. And she was beautiful. All right, that's pretty good. I'm sure Todd got a note for me even for that.
Yeah, I'll talk to you afterwards.
That sounds like fun. Todd, Tom, will you give us the... sorry.
Yeah, I know. Todd's and Tom's. And, yeah.
Will you give us the details again, please?
Absolutely. So we have two page you can previews that are tomorrow night, Wednesday, and Thursday are at 7:30. We also open on Friday night, which is November 6th at 7:30, and it runs through December 6th. That's Thursday through Saturday at 7:30 p.m. Our Sunday matinees are at 4 o'clock. And our last weekend, we have a Wednesday performance as well. We don't have a performance on Thanksgiving, but we have a performance the day before on that Wednesday.
I suspect this show is going to be one you want to get tickets than later.
Absolutely. When you look at what happened in Chicago last year, is around this time when things started to really pick up, and about after the first weekend, the tickets were gone, and we're starting to see a pretty good surge in tickets now. So it's if you want to see the show, get your tickets now.
All right, guys. We missing anything? Anything you want to add?
No, just a shout out to all the people involved. I mean, it's been a huge. It takes a village. So it's been a lot of people involved in this process. And it's been
great. All right. For more info, go to perseverancetheater.org.
That's right. PTAlaska.org or call 463-TIXS. That's 8497.
Great. Thanks a lot, you guys.
Yeah. Thanks, Scott.
Never thereafter a word again. He trod the path that few have trod. Did Sweeney Todd, the demon barber of Fleet Street. He kept a shop in London town of fancy clients and good renown. And what if none of their souls were saved? They went to their maker impeccably shaved. By Sweeney Todd, the demon barber of Fleet Street.
Year, common mergansers are flying south from Canada to wintering grounds in the lower 48. What dictates when they decide to go? These ducks, like most birds, are well insulated against frigid winter temperatures. But they do have to find food, and they can only find their fishy prey by diving below the surface in open bodies of water. So they're doing just fine, resting and feeding in southern Canada, until they wake up one November morning and a thin veneer of ice is forming on their lake. That ice is a sign of the times, and enough to let the ducks know they should be heading south. This makes common mergansers and some other diving ducks among the last of the migrants to appear in the U.S. in late fall. In years to come, if they start to arrive later, it may be a sign that changes in climate are shaping their migratory behavior. Read the latest reports of the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change to see why those mergansers may not be coming south in the future. This show was written by BirdNote's science advisor, Dennis Paulson. BirdNote's producer is John Kessler, and I'm Mary McCann.
Robin Hood and Little John walking through the forest, laughing back and forth at what the other has to say. Reminiscing this and that and having such a good time. Oodle-lolly, golly, what a day. Never ever thinking there was danger in the water they were drinking, they just guzzled it down. Never dreaming that a scheming sheriff and his posse was watching them and gathering around. Robin Hood and Little John running through the forest, jumping fences, dodging trees, and trying to get away. Contemplating nothing but escaping, finally making it. Oodle-lolly, golly, what a day. Oodle-lolly, golly, what a day.
You're listening to a Juno Afternoon here on Tuesday, November 3rd, 2015, about 14 minutes until the top of the hour. Got a little extra time on the show today. Here's a little more Sweeney Todd.
I have sailed the world, beheld its wonders, from the Dardanelles to the mountains of Peru, but there's no place like London. I feel home again. I could hear the city bells ring, whatever I would do. No, there's no place like London. Mr. Thompson.
You are young. Life has been kind to you. You
here we go our several ways, farewell, Antony. I will not soon forget the good ship Bountiful, nor the young man who saved my life.
There is no cause to thank me for that, sir. It would have been a poor Christian indeed who would have spotted you pitching and tossing on that raft and not given the alarm.
As many a Christian would have done just that and not lost a wink's sleep over it either.
To the devil with you!
Pardon me, sir, but there's no need to fear the likes of her. She's only a half-crazed beggar woman. London's full of them.
I beg your indulgence, boy. My mind is far from easy. For in these once familiar streets, I feel the chill of ghostly shadows everywhere. Forgive me.
There is nothing to forgive.
Farewell, Antony.
Mr. Todd, before we part,
What is it?
I have honored my promise never to question you. Whatever brought you to that sorry shipwreck is your affair, and yet, over the many weeks of our voyage home, I've come to think of you as a friend. And if trouble lies ahead for you in London, if you need any help or money...
No! There's a hole in the world like a great black pit, and the vermin of the world inhabit it, and its morals aren't worth what a pig could spit, and it goes by the name of London. At the top of the hole sit the privileged few, making mock of the vermin in the lowest stew, turning beauty to filth and greed. I too have sailed the world and seen its wonders, for the cruelty of men is as wondrous as Peru, but there's no place like London. Was a barber and his wife, and she was beautiful. A foolish barber and his wife, she was his reason and his life, and she was beautiful.
Ride the razor's edge at Perseverance Theater with Sweeney Todd. This twisted tale of love, violence, and revenge.
There was another man who saw that she was beautiful, a pious vulture of the law, who with a gesture of his claw removed the barber from his plate. Then there was nothing but to wait, and she would fall, so soft, so young, so lost and oh so beautiful.
The lady, sir, did she succumb?
Oh, that was many years ago. I doubt if anyone would know. Now leave me, Anthony. There is somewhere I must go, something I must find out now, and alone.
But surely we will meet again before I am off to Plymouth.
If you want, you may well find me around Fleet Street, I wouldn't wonder. There's a hole in the world like a great black pit, and it's filled with people who are filled with shit, and the vermin of the world inhabits it.
Ride the razor's edge at Perseverance Theater with Sweeney Todd. This twisted tale of love, violence, and revenge will keep you on the edge of your seat as Sweeney and his partner in crime, Mrs. Lovett, turn their plans of vengeance into savory pie fillings. Featuring one of Stephen Sondheim's incomparable scores with hit songs such as Joanna and Pretty Women. Sweeney Todd opens Friday, November 6th. For more information and tickets, visit Hearthside Books, The Jack, or ptalaska.org.
You're listening to a Juno Afternoon on Tuesday, November 3rd, 2015, about 7 minutes until the top of the hour. And speaking of plays, Thunder Mountain High School's drama department is going to be opening Robin Hood next week on Thursday, November 12th, and it will run Friday, November 13th, and also Saturday, a matinee at 2 and a show at 7. Again, Robin Hood from Thunder Mountain High School. Here's a little song from that play.
Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in to a Juno Afternoon. Tomorrow on the show, we'll get an update on all things Eagle Crest. Bob Armstrong will be here to offer a preview about this week's Wildlife Wednesday presentation, Taking Care of the Kids. Diane Anderson and Mark Vinzel will be here to highlight their residency at the Ernest Gruning Historical Site. And we'll talk with Bob Konitzer and Lou Cacchioppo, the Stone Guys, about their first Friday show at the Jack. Those interviews, Writer's Almanac, Bird Note Music, and more on KTOO News. If you missed the live show, it's also available at 4 on KRNN and online at ktoo.org. It's currently 42 degrees at the Juneau Airport, 43 in Gustavus, 43 over in Hoonah. Tonight, the weather forecast calls for rain in the evening, then rain showers late. Lows around 39. Southeast winds 15 to 25 miles per hour, diminishing overnight. There will be gusts to 40 miles per hour this evening. Wednesday, rain showers are likely, highs around 44, southwest winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Thursday, mostly cloudy, chance of rain showers, highs around 42, east winds 10 to 20 miles per hour. Friday, rain showers, highs around 43, lows around 37. And Saturday, rain showers likely, highs around 41. Thanks for tuning in to a Juno Afternoon. Please tune in tomorrow, same time, same frequency. Thank you.